What's up, everybody? Welcome to Tuesday's show, Fantasy Baseball Today, CBSSports.com, the podcast. I'm Adam Azer, and hello, Al Melchior.
Hello, Adam Azer.
Scott White not here today. Are you ready to hold down the fort?
Support?
Yeah, it is.
Let's hold it down.
Holding it down, okay.
Live from the tree fort.
Now, today on the show, I do want to read some emails, fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Please put baseball podcaster, grade the trade in the subject line. And we're going to talk about players who frustrate us. I have two players. I don't know if you came with any, but that's okay if you didn't, because the Twitter universe brought us many.
Ah.
Many good suggestions.
Why do we have players that frustrate me?
Yeah, okay. So we'll talk about that now. There were so many good ones that I decided not to use all of them and turn the rest into a segment on the video show. So hopefully we're doing that. I haven't got confirmation, but I think we're going to be doing more players who frustrate you on the video show. So if you don't hear your tweet read on the podcast, watch it live, noon Eastern time, Fantasy Baseball Today. And if you can't watch it live, you can watch it on demand. Just go to fantasynews.cbssports.com or go to cbssports.com/fantasybaseballtoday. All right. John Singleton's getting called up today. We'll talk about that. Danny Duffy had a big start. Dustin Pedroia has been bad. Starling Marte has been bad. Cody Allen got another save. Here we go, Al. Tell me what you think about Jonathan Singleton. He got signed to a 5-year, $10 million contract. It could be worth up to $30 million over 8 years. Nice job by the Astros there, right?
So I was just going to say, exactly. Good job.
Wow. And he will be called up today. He will hopefully start at first base. They have terrible first basemen.
Yes.
So where have you ranked him? I dropped Mark Teixeira for Singleton, and I just don't know if I made the right move.
That is very interesting that you did that. Interesting to me, because when I was figuring out my rankings for Singleton yesterday and putting together projection, at least in my own head for him, I saw a slash line that was almost identical to the one that Teixeira has put up so far this year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, it was a points league, which made it even tougher because Teixeira walks so much now. He's doing a nice job there. And I just don't know what to expect from Singleton. The big difference was the wrist injury. Even though Teixeira could be back today, I just don't trust it holding up.
I like the move, yeah, because Teixeira with the wrist issue with a growing history of health issues. Singleton, I feel like you could get very similar production to what Teixeira's given you this year with lots of walks, home run power, not necessarily a whole lot in the way of, doubles, and not necessarily much in the way of batting average, maybe a 240, 250 batting average like Teixeira would give you, but with more playing time.
So how many home runs have you projected Singleton for?
We don't have a projection on the site or anything for him, other than what we did preseason. But I would expect probably about 18.
Okay. And now if Singleton does do well, this is only going to make me more wrong and you more right about Jose Altuve. It can't be bad news for Jose Altuve, and it can't be bad news for George Springer. I don't know what they do with their batting order, but I could see Springer second and Singleton third, maybe, at least at some point.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens. John Singleton, pick him up.
So I ranked, I don't think I've ever actually answered your ultimate question, which is where I rank him. I put him 24th in both formats.
At first base, behind like the Morneaus?
Yep, behind Morneau, Napoli, I think just behind. I'm in the same neighborhood as Kendrys, I think just behind him.
Okay.
So that makes him, to me, a must-own in Roto Leagues.
Sam wants to know if John Singleton should be added in a 10-team points league.
You could. And again, I think Roto would be more imperative than a head-to-head points league.
Okay. Jesse Hahn is going to start today for San Diego, a starting pitcher with good minor league numbers. But he hasn't thrown more than 5 innings in any start in the minors. Looks like they were really building him up. 3 innings, 4 innings, 5 innings. Does he matter?
Probably not too much. It's sort of reminiscent last year with Danny Salazar, where he wasn't pitching a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Different kind of pitcher than Danny Salazar. Could be very good. He's a sinker baller with very high ground ball rates in the minor leagues. Pretty good control, but probably not going to be a big strikeout guy. We'll see. I mean, I would certainly think there could be a spot for him if he succeeds, and I think that the Padres clearly think a lot of him to promote him from Double A for the start. It's a spot start for now, but you know, if Cashner has a setback or they finally decide to replace Stoltz.
Yep.
Yeah, I think there's some future this year for Hahn.
Right, and Erlin hasn't really made much progress yet. Cashner's supposed to be back this weekend. So who's next, Al? Who's coming up next?
Well, I think it's Gregory Polanco.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a report yesterday that he'd be up. I should look at the Pirates' schedule because I think it was for the next homestand.
Okay.
But anyways, it appears that it's going to be soon.
Cool. And are there any other minor leaguers that you're stashing? I'm stashing Andrew Heaney in a 12-team Roto League with 30-man rosters.
Yeah, not too many at this point. Heaney. I'm actually still stashing Noah Syndergaard, even though the last couple of weeks he's been one of the guys that I've thought of dropping, but I still kind of want to wait and see there with him. In terms of hitters, I'm trying to think, there may not be any at this point.
I know Scott picked up Javier Baez in a Roto League.
Yeah, no, I'm not stashing him anywhere. In an AL-only league, I'm stashing Domingo Santana from the Astros organization because, okay, now they've filled that black hole at first base, but I still think that there's room to upgrade in the outfield. And I think Santana maybe gets a call at some point this year.
How about Michael Franco?
Oh, yeah. I forgot him. So, yeah, no, I'm stashing him.
Philly's third base prospect. They have a black hole at third base. All right, let's read an email from Chuck in Leamington Spa, UK. He says, I recognize this would be a more appropriate question during the hot stove period instead of in season, but I am bitter about missing out on Springer, Tavares, and now Singleton in my league's waiver process. My league charges $2 per transaction, and waivers can happen any time throughout the week as long as the person has cleared waivers. Lineups are set on Sunday for the upcoming week. So basically, the owner who sees the news about someone being called up first generally gets the player. I'm wondering if you can give me some ideas on a more fair way to run the waiver process. Fab dollars, multiple waiver processes during the week, maybe one weekly process similar to football. Any suggestions would be appreciated as I want to propose a change to my league for 2015.
Yeah, and I'm just looking here to see. So it is so it's not a fab process. It's just one where you first come, first served, right? He's saying.
Yeah, it looks that way.
So I think I certainly prefer a fab bidding to just a waiver pickup. And I'm sort of conflicted about daily fab versus weekly fab because, you know, if you have a life, even though, you know, fab, I mean, it's not just first come, first served. It's like you have to put your money where your mouth is. Still with the daily fab, that's a time investment every day, making sure you get your bid in. But weekly fab sometimes feels like it's not rewarding the owners who are on top of things.
Right. I wouldn't want to do weekly fab. I don't like it. I don't play in a weekly fab league, but I help out a friend of mine who's in a weekly fab league, and it's just hard to know what to bid on, guys. And if you miss out, then you're screwed for a whole week.
Yeah.
What about like bi-weekly fab? You ever done that? I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't do
that, haven't,
right?
But that, you know, that would be ideal. That would be a great compromise.
Ideally, I think you play I don't know about ideal. Maybe most practical. Because ideally, I'd like to do daily fab. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with daily fab, but obviously it's my job to keep up with everything every day. I understand why daily fab, and if you don't know what fab leagues is, free agent acquisition budget, you have to bid on players. For us, in the leagues we're in, once a day, you can't, you know, the fab runs. So if you don't bid on anybody, that's fine. But if you do, you can get them the next day. It requires being up to date, checking box scores, just knowing what's going on. And even sometimes I find like on weekends, I'm a little behind because, you know, I might not look until the next day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I fall behind a little bit on Friday night or Saturday night and I catch up maybe on Sunday. So I understand how normal people who have a life wouldn't have time for daily fab. I think it's the best, and I think it's better than waivers. The one thing I don't like is leagues that don't have a waiver process at all, and you can just pick up free agents anytime you want. You see a guy at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you get him at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, well, that's actually how I got Singleton yesterday.
Yeah.
One of our head-to-head leagues here in the office.
I got him in a waiver league, our podcast league. It's not fab, but you make your waiver claims, and they run every night. So if nobody else claims him or if you have waiver priority, you get the guy. I do prefer that to just picking up a player on free agency. That's kind of archaic.
I agree.
I don't know why we have that.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite? You Fab maybe a couple times a week?
Fab, I mean, a couple times a week would be best. I've never played in that league.
Yeah.
Of the ones I do play, I have to say, I do like weekly Fab better than daily Fab.
Really?
And it's, yeah, again, it's flawed because, you know, it's like there's a guy that you feel like, you know, you've gotten ahead of the curve on, and you know, then 3 days later, there's a lot of hype and everybody's kind of caught up to you. So that's kind of a bummer. But I still think weekly Fab, there's an element of fairness there because it's competitive bidding. So if you know, everybody knows about a certain person, but if you like that person more, you know, you can show it with your bid.
Do you like the, I always forget what it's called, the licorice system?
Vickery
system, where you bid on a player and if you win the player, you are charged $1 more than the second highest bid. So you could bid $80 for someone knowing that, you know, he's worth maybe like 10, but nobody else bid more than 8, so you end up getting him for $9 instead of your 80.
I mean, look, I like it when it works.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's particularly fair, to be honest. And it has some risk, and I'll give an example. This weekend in the Tout Wars auction, which is 15 teams mixed.
And it's licorice?
And it's licorice. Or Vickery. Depending on what you like. And 4 weeks running, I kept getting outbid on closers. And I've just been carrying Uehara all year as my only active closer. Because my number two closer was Nate Jones.
Okay.
Back in March when we had the auction. So, and I keep missing out on guys. So finally, there was no active closer on waivers going into this weekend, into the weekly Fab. But I thought, okay, Ottavino's out there. I keep whiffing on closers. Let me see if I can get Ottavino. And I bid the same amount on him that I bid both on
Belisario.
Belisario, thank you. And I think also it was the same amount that I had bid on Britain the week before.
Okay.
So I went 23 on Ottavino, figuring, you know, I got to get at least a closer in waiting, but probably it's going to be like less than $10. I got him for $3. So, back, you know, I could have gotten burned big time.
Right. Somebody else could have been like, well, nobody's going to bid that much on Ottavino. I'll bid 20.
But I kept
and then
going.
You would have gotten him for 21.
Right. But I mean, but I was going, you know, in that neighborhood for, you know, guys who had a closer's job, and I kept losing out. Mm. So I figure, okay, I'll take the risk. I'll bid the same amount again, and I'll probably pay less. And it worked out that time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think, you know, you got to. This is one thing about fantasy baseball. It does reward hard work and staying on top of things. And that makes it difficult. There's no question about it. And the one last thing I would say is I do play in one league that has a very interesting system here. It's a waiver league, so you can't pick up somebody until, you know, waivers run every night. So if you try to add someone on Saturday, it doesn't go through until Sunday if you're lucky enough to get them. But on Monday, until first pitch, the commissioner turns off waivers. So any free agent, now a guy who was dropped on Sunday isn't available, but any free agent that's not on waivers, you can pick up on Monday to get your lineup set, which I think is a really good idea in football because there are so many guys on Sunday, you don't know if they're going to play. They might be, you know, we don't know if they're going to be inactive or active. If you're the commissioner, turn off your waiver wire process if you have it on Sunday morning and let people make add drops to their lineup. So that's one last thing you can do. All right, Al, let's get to Monday's standouts. Danny Duffy. I tried dropping him over the weekend. It didn't go through. And now, you know, I'm kind of happy about it. Hold on to him for one more day, as Wilson Phillips might say. 20% owned for Danny Duffy. 6 innings, 1 hit, no runs. 1 walk, 5 Ks at St. Louis. Got a 3.05 ERA. Last 2 starts were terrible. But I know he's capable of being a good pitcher, Al.
This is a player that frustrates me.
Oh, yeah?
And to the degree that I don't own him this year, I've rarely, if ever, owned him. Because I do not know what to expect from Danny Duffy.
Right.
He looks brilliant at times. He certainly has, you know, prospect pedigree and high upside and all those good things. But way more often than not, it seems like he just cannot control his pitches.
So I actually tried dropping him for Ruby De La Rosa. Somebody outbid me for De La Rosa. Who would you rather own?
You know what? Because Duffy frustrates me so much, I'd rather have De La Rosa.
Okay. And Stroman you'd rather have than Duffy?
I think I'd rather have Duffy.
Duffy?
Yeah.
All right, Lonnie Chisenhall went 1-for-3 with 2 RBI. He's 25 years old. He's batting 360 right now. The one thing, you know, he homered against a lefty over the weekend, but, of course, Carlos Santana was out, so I don't know if he'll play third base against lefties when Santana's there. Do you feel like we have to get, if Chisenhall's still available, do we have to get him now before it's too late?
I'm pretty distrustful. He could be having a breakout, but I haven't made any moves for him. So I just, yeah, I don't feel that sense of urgency just yet. It, you know, his minor league numbers were, they were okay. But it's nothing that's inspiring me to go after this tremendous upside.
So you would not drop Chase Headley for Chisenhall?
No, I wouldn't.
How about Juan Francisco?
Yeah, okay, that I would do.
You would?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Well, I don't know. I still feel like you can get some good power from Francisco. And they're both hot, but Francisco's homering.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a matter of what you need.
Yeah. No, Francisco, I've thought for the last few years that if he just got a shot, and he's had some opportunities, but, you know, a long-term shot, everyday job, that he could be a really good power source. It's just that's his whole game.
Yeah. Cody Allen got his fourth save for Cleveland. His ownership is up to 36%. Yesterday it was 28%. And what stood out to you yesterday, Al?
Well, let's see. It's a short list. Because,
I know. Only 8 games. And not like anything too crazy.
Yeah. For one, Chase Utley with another double.
Okay.
And I think that's 21 for him. It's a lot.
Which is as many as Jonathan Lucroy.
How about that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, both of them definitely making a mark. But, you know, with Utley, maybe another player that's a little bit frustrating to me because whenever he's gotten on track, he just, you know, then he goes down with an injury.
Okay. But so far, he hasn't been frustrating. He's been a steal.
Yeah, no, he has been an absolute steal. So, you know, and certainly, you know, as compared to somebody like Duffy, where it's like, okay, well, you know, you get maybe one good start out of every three. And, you know, I could certainly feel comfortable about just avoiding him for the most part. Utley, yeah, I feel pretty foolish for not having him, you know, ranked higher in the preseason. And at this point, it's probably, you know, you'd have to pay dearly to get him. But if I'm an Utley owner, you know, do you sell high? I don't know. I think I'm at the point now where I'm thinking he's back to a place where he hasn't been in a long time.
I don't know who you could get for him. Yeah, like, if you could get Kipnis, obviously you'd do it.
Yeah, I would do that.
Oh, you had to think about that?
Yeah.
Really? But you love Kipnis. He's your number two second baseman in Roto.
I do. That's what I'm wondering. Is Utley back to being an elite? It's been a long, long time.
Okay. Well, so how about Zobrist?
Yeah, see, I think I'd do that. I think I'd take Utley for Zobrist.
You'd rather have who?
Utley.
You'd rather have Utley. Wow. Interesting. Okay. Moving up in your rankings then. Anyone else from yesterday that you want to talk about?
You know what? Oddly enough, I want to talk about Randy Wolf.
Randy Wolf, big start yesterday against the Rays. 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. First win since September of 2012.
Yes, with the Orioles, right?
I don't know. I
think so.
And I have no computer today, so don't make me look things up.
Okay. But, yeah, that was a surprising start from Wolf. And it's, you know, certainly it's one start. And it's not anything that would, you know, make me run out, you know, after him, even in a, you know, 15 or 16 team mixed league. But frankly, I wasn't even interested in him in an NL only league before. And his control has been pretty good. It was very good in that start. There was a post game interview with him. That was pretty interesting too, because he was, you know, sort of self effacing and saying, you know, it all starts with my fastball. He says, yeah, I know I throw at 85, but, you know, he said, but seriously, you know, I was getting my fastball exactly where I wanted it, and if I can establish that, you know, then I can branch out.
Did he get a whipped cream pie?
He did not get the whipped cream pie.
Oh, he deserved it. First win in over a year.
Well, you know, that's not always a good thing, because one of the most memorable whipped cream pies that I think of is the one that Chris Coughlin got, and I think that's when he hurt himself a few years back, and he never was the same.
What did he hurt? Not his eyes.
No, I think it was his knee.
Yeah, well. I mean, if he had hurt his eyes from the whipped cream, I'd blame the pie.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair to blame the pie.
Maybe not.
Leave the pie out of this, Al. You son of a. All right, anyway, Randy Wolf.
So Randy Wolf. So, you know, it's not a glowing endorsement, but, you know, now I'm interested in him in NL-only leagues, and he's on my radar, and, you know, thinking maybe there's some comeback potential there, too, because I thought his approach was interesting, and he executed it very well in this one start.
Buy or sell? You know that it was a quick game when Al Melchior stayed up for the post-game interview.
Yes. You should be buying that.
Oh, man. I was asleep damn early, too, yesterday. A lot of quick games, actually, yesterday, at least the earlier ones. Carlos Beltran could be back Thursday. Will Myers could be out 2 to 6 weeks. They don't know yet, according to the Tampa Tribune, with the wrist injury. John Heyman reports the Yankees may have reached out to Kendrys Morales, and the Royals may have interest as well. Andrew Cash, Yankees please over the Royals. Andrew Cashner will come off the DL this weekend, reportedly. Johan Santana nearing a return. Mark Teixeira could return today. Aramis Ramirez will return tomorrow. AJ Pollock won't have any baseball activity for 8 weeks, so that is worse than what we thought. That's not back in 8 weeks. That's no baseball activity for 8 weeks. Shane Victorino won't be ready to return from the DL when he's first eligible. He has a hamstring injury. Nelson Cruz expected back today. Steven Drew went 0-for-2 with a walk. He played shortstop. He batted eighth. And Xander Bogaerts played third. He batted second, and he homered. And Brock Holt was at first. But Napoli should be back by the end of the week. Lance Lynn hurt his knee Sunday. He is expected to make his next start, though. Colton Wong sat against the lefty yesterday. He's 5-for-22 against lefties this season. D. Gordon sat against the lefty yesterday. Sean Fickens played second base. Also, Andre Ethier sat for Scott Van Slyke. So, should we try to sell D. Gordon?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think you're going to see this throughout the season where he's going to go through slumps. You know, I'm not sure that he's a legit 300 hitter or not, but he's got the speed to pull it off. So, yeah, he may sit occasionally against lefties. He's going to slump. And I still think, I mean, look at what he's done in terms of stolen bases so far.
Right. But he might have put you in a good spot with steals, where now you might want to trade him, you know, for power. I don't know, for power, for something. If you don't think you're going to get batting average from him. And in fact, I own D. Gordon in one or two leagues. It's not just that I don't think I'm going to get batting average from him. I'm actually worried that he might hit 240, because he's had a couple of years where he's been a really bad hitter.
Yeah, and those were, you know, talk about players that frustrate you and just, you know, make you scratch your head trying to figure out, you know, where they're really at. Those seasons didn't make sense to me. That rookie where he hit 300, you know, that I thought, okay, here's a speedy guy,
right,
who is going to get a lot of infield base hits. So, yeah, I think if you're going to trade Gordon, and I think there's a scenario where you can do it, it's not because you're worried about batting average. It's because you are sitting nicely in the standings in steals, and you need to buttress your power or your run production. I know you love it when I use that word.
Buttress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then, yeah, that maybe you get Chase Utley or, you know, somebody who can fill some other need.
Kyle Seager became the first major league hitter to hit 2 triples and at least 1 home run and 1 double since Hal Breeden did it for Montreal in 1973. That's according to Stats.
You know, I've got Hal Breeden's baseball card.
Yeah?
And I never knew, you know, he had such an illustrious event in his career.
Yeah, pretty awesome. And who knew that it would take 41 years for it to happen again? Jose Abreu returned from the DL. He homered off Clayton Kershaw. He's good. Robinson Cano returned. He went 1-for-3 with 2 walks at the Yankees. Henderson Alvarez will start tonight. Tommy Medica is still day-to-day. Same with Cameron Maben. Andrew McCutchen has 3 doubles and a home run in his last 2 games. Juan Lagares is on the DL with a strained rib cage. And Miami signed Kevin Gregg, and they traded, well, I think, a second-round pick, right?
I thought it was the sandwich pick.
Oh, okay. That could very well be the case. It's like the 39th pick.
Right, that's, yeah.
For middle reliever. Was it Brian Morris?
Brian Morris. So now they got Brian Morris and maybe soon Kevin Gregg.
Why did they do that?
I wish I could tell you. I think panic. That's the only answer I could give you. It makes no sense to me that the Marlins did that. but they are very, very desperate for middle relief help. Morris will be a slight upgrade over the likes of whom they've been using. They sent Archimedes Caminero down. I think Morris could be a little better than that, but yeah, it's puzzling.
Let's talk about some players who frustrate you. I nominated a few. Desmond Jennings. Scott said it should be a good week for him. Yesterday you said to start him on Fantasy Baseball Today. We do a daily league segment, and he had two hits. He had a good game. But he's been terrible for a month. He's batting .237. He's 27 years old. I drafted him as a number three outfielder with the hopes that he might break out and be a high-end number two outfielder. I don't know, like a top 20 guy. And he just hasn't been close. So I don't know what to make of Desmond Jennings, Al.
Yeah, I don't either. And I've been a little more bullish on him this year than the last couple of years because it just seems like if he's going to break out, this is going to be the year that he's going to do it. And it looked like he was headed that way. But then, like you said, last month, he hasn't looked good at all. So, yeah, he's frustrating. And I do have some optimism still. But
yeah, me too. Me too. You know, I looked on Saturday of how many starting pitchers had sub-3 ERAs across baseball. And on Saturday, I don't know if it's still this, but it was, I think, 26, which is a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
Last year, we finished with 10 or 11. The year before that, we finished with 10 or 11 sub-3 ERAs. Starting pitchers, mm-hmm. not relievers. And then the 2 years prior to that, it was around 15 or 16. But 25, 26 is still a lot. So what I took out of that is there are a lot of lineups that are still underachieving, and teams are going to start hitting better.
Well, but I think what you got to do is look at the major league ERA, which I haven't done, and compare it to past
I thought
years.
Runs were down.
I'm pretty sure they are. I mean, offense just is steadily going down. It has been over the last several years. But that's the thing you got to look at because, you know, this time of the year, we still haven't really seen the full regression to the mean.
Right.
So I would be very surprised if there weren't a much larger number of 5-plus ERA guys.
That's a good
than
point.
There typically are.
All right, so could you look up the Major League ERA?
I have the internet.
Yeah.
I could do this.
I would do that, but
I got it.
I'm having computer issues. Shelby Miller is a guy who frustrates me. And now it's like, all right, 7 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk. And that's fine, especially when you consider that he held Kansas City scoreless through 6 innings. But where are the strikeouts now? 2 strikeouts yesterday, and on the year, 48 strikeouts and 68 and two-thirds. So what the hell? That's really annoying. Now, if it were just like, well, he's striking guys out, just needs to get the walks down, he'll be fine. Okay. But now he's not striking guys out? Shelby Miller.
Yeah, well, and he's had a lot of starts where he hasn't had very many swings and misses, so... And I think some of that is a function of poor control because batters are laying off pitches they otherwise would have pursued. But Shelby Miller, let's see, what's his ERA at right now?
4.06.
So he's not part of the trend of the lowering ERA in Major League Baseball.
Oh, it is a trend?
Well, not really. It's 3.86 last year, 3.79 this year. Man. So, you know, it's a slight decrease. I think that probably does show that there's probably regression to the mean.
Summer months are coming.
On both
Everybody's going to start hitting, right?
Yeah, so that ERA could go up to 3.82.
Yeah. I would guess that losing almost a tenth of a run on ERA is somewhat significant across baseball.
Yeah. I think if you looked at the last few years, it's probably bigger than the typical average change. I'm just guessing.
Right. Okay. And I have... do you want to finish your thoughts on Shelby Miller?
He's a player I don't trust. I think I'm beyond... I was frustrated earlier in the year, and now I've largely given up.
Wow. Okay.
I qualified it. I haven't totally given up, and in fact, when he had a couple of good starts, a week or two ago, you know, had a couple good starts back-to-back, I was starting to buy in again, but... He's really got to have like a good month for me to really believe in him again.
And I put the Yankees as a player who frustrates you because they really tick me off, Al. I'm not going to lie. They suck. I hate them. but well, I love them.
Yeah, but you said 2 months ago they were the worst team in
I
baseball.
I did. Said it the second day, the third day of the year. So, you know, I maintain that.
They're not a player, though. I just do want to point out that they're a team of players.
Fine. Anybody who pitches for the Yankees that's not Masahiro Tanaka or Dellin Betances or Adam Warren or David Robertson. Okay. You know who is my new least favorite player is Matt Thornton. He's just what the all right.
Well, he's on the DL with the White Sox though, right?
I didn't screw it up this time, did I?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
People probably don't know that you always confuse him with Matt Lindstrom. So.
Always. Now we'll turn it around. Come on, Yanks. Okay, Trevor Davis. Dustin Pedroia and Alfonso Soriano frustrate him.
I don't know why Pedroia would.
Oh, I know why. He's not even a top 12 first, second baseman, Al. He's slugging .379, and he only hit 9 home runs last year. He's got like little nagging injuries here and there. You don't know how healthy he really is. He doesn't steal bases. He's got 2 steals and 6 attempts. So if he doesn't help you in homers and he doesn't help you in steals... Oh, and his 17 RBI is pretty brutal, too. I think he's been very frustrating.
Well, that's fair, and I don't view him as that because he's one of those players that has been high-end, and I just figure he's going to come around. So, you know, it's sort of like Carlos Santana. He's a little frustrating.
Yeah.
And, of course, now he's on the DL, but, you know, I just stick with him. Because I have a lot of confidence that he's going to turn around. I have a lot of confidence that Pedroia will turn around. Alfonso Soriano, I've made peace with him. I mean, you just have to accept him for who he is.
Yeah. I said the stat yesterday, 2 years ago. I didn't look at 2013. It was a very good year for him, very consistent year. He stole a lot of bases. He just had a great year. It was weird. 2012, you know, he finished with decent numbers, but... From April 5th to May 14th, first game of the season, and for him until May 14th, he batted about .250 with a .302 slugging percentage, no home runs. From May 15th to June 1st, he hit 8 home runs. So I think it's still there, you know, it's what he is. He's very streaky. He looked terrible last night. But Joe Girardi just, I think, needs to leave him in the lineup, let him suck, and let him get super hot and carry the team for 2 weeks.
And I think fantasy owners should do the same. I do the same. With Soriano, because if you try to chase the streaks and avoid the cold snaps, you know, you could wind up missing out on all of it, depending on your timing.
Nick Fern says Joe Mauer and Brandon Phillips frustrate him.
Yeah, Mauer's been frustrating, no doubt. You know, we had our debate a week or two ago on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Yadier Molina or Joe Mauer.
Yeah.
And Molina has completely stunk since then. Mostly.
But, yeah, no, I expected a lot more from Mauer. And I'll put him in the category of players that I think will improve.
Good game yesterday, a couple doubles.
Yeah, no, it was a good game for him. I won't lie that I worry more about him than some others, maybe even Pedroia, just because of the post-concussion thing sometimes really seems to linger for some players, mm-hmm. and it isn't always, you know, maybe it isn't a concussion, but it's just I know that can linger, and you see players – coming off of concussions. Dominic Brown, I wonder the same thing with him.
Oh, interesting. Brandon Phillips, less frustrating than just, like, not that good.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not frustrated because I just avoid him.
Josh Harris says, Robinson Cano is driving me crazy. I drafted for power. Instead, I get speed.
Yeah, that's got to be annoying. He is a little frustrating because I figured he would have turned it on by now in terms of hitting for power.
Okay. Look. I read this, I don't remember where I read it, and I heard it last night on the Yankees broadcast, and it makes sense. They're just not giving him pitches to hit. He's got terrible lineup protection. He's still managing to bat like over .320, I think, and yeah. He had a hit and 2 walks yesterday. So he hasn't been a total waste.
He didn't have too much protection last
season.
That's
exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
He didn't have too much protection last season. He's hit a good amount of home runs, but not in the last 60 games.
That's true.
So it is interesting. I mean, I think I'm of the belief that he's still young. He's not old. He's been awesome. I could still see him getting like hot and being the best player in baseball or close to it over the next few months.
Yeah, I had expected it by now. But yeah, I'm certainly not selling Cano, and I'm not dropping in my rankings yet either.
Girth Algar is frustrated by Jean Segura. I feel like he's been doing better lately.
Yeah, he's definitely more steals.
But you had him as a bust. Not a total outright bust, but just somebody was going too high.
Yes.
Because you didn't buy the power.
Right.
And so far, so good on that one.
So, but, yeah. So, you know. So for me, he's not a frustration. But if you expected him to hit 10 to 15 home runs and hit over 300, then, yeah, you're going to be frustrated.
TJ Wickham is frustrated by Carlos Santana. Enough said.
Yeah, like I said, annoying, certainly. Could see Santana being frustrating. But I just think, and I think Scott's made this point, too, that Santana, even when he struggles, he gets enough steals to matter.
Walks.
And to, or walks.
Yeah.
Yeah, not steals.
No, I mean, he actually still ranks pretty high at catcher in points leagues. So I don't think you could be too frustrated there, but you could be more frustrated in roto leagues. But again, I believe that's because the elite catchers have been so disappointing this year, other than Lucroy and Molina have been really good, but I shouldn't say elite. The number one catchers like Gomes and McCann and Rosario and Jason Castro and Carlos Santana have been so disappointing that...
Well, the guys who would be top two for a lot of people, yeah. Mauer and Posey,
yeah. Yeah. But Lucroy and Molina have been good.
Yeah, but yeah, a lot of those, you're right, the number one catchers, number one fantasy catchers, as a whole, have underperformed.
I know I gave this stat out a little while ago. I don't remember what year it was, and I know this isn't really much of a stat, just an anecdote. Carlos Santana was pretty bad for the first half, I think two seasons ago, and then he was awesome. He turned it around.
Mm-hmm.
So, still yeah. capable, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly why I hold out hope for him. Now, this next guy...
Josh Aldirodi, Eric freaking Hosmer.
Yeah, he is frustrating.
Yeah. What's the excuse this time? What, does he have one home run?
I think, yeah.
Alex Gordon hit his fifth yesterday.
And he's
Hosmer has won.
Yeah, and if Hosmer's freaking me, I'm going to freaking frustrating to me. Freaking frustrating.
Eric freaking Hosmer.
I'm just looking that up. Sorry, I can't multitask, can't talk, and look stuff up at the same time. It is one home run.
This is a fun game. Get out and look things up while he speaks.
And hitting 266, which is also very frustrating.
And it's not like he hasn't had a terrible season before.
Right.
You know, it'd be one thing if it's like Evan Longoria, where you know what to expect year after year.
Yeah. And it is frustrating to me because I've been saying for a long time now, you know, that I don't really expect Hosmer to hit for power.
Right.
I just don't see it. But even this, like, I expect better. I figured by now, Hosmer's got 5 or 6 home runs, and he's hitting at least 280.
So have you moved him down?
I haven't. I don't know that I will. I don't know that I will because I just, even though I've somewhat diminished expectations for him anyway, I still think he's got to do better than this.
Right. It's always so tough. It makes sense to call Eric Hosmer a buy low candidate, but it's so hard to pull the trigger on something like that, you know, when he's been this disappointing.
Yeah, but if you can really buy low, and in fact, I saw a trade in the league. Unfortunately, I don't remember what it was. It involved Mitch Moreland, who I almost just called Keith Moreland.
Who the hell was Keith Moreland?
It was a catcher back in, I think it was the 80s.
Oh, okay.
Phillies and Cubs. Anyway, Mitch Moreland. So involved him and some fab dollars, and I think there was a second player that wasn't that substantial. So, you know, that was a buy low.
For Hosmer.
Yeah, for Hosmer. Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right, let's go to 3 up and 2 down. I have a 2-man rotation today. Oh, man, I buried the lead. Justin Masterson, I want to talk about him first. Let's look at the fringy starting pitchers.
Okay.
Justin Masterson is 73% owned, and he was so good last night. He walked 4. Most, if not all, of the walks were early. He threw something like 26 or 27 strikes in a row. It was crazy. That's what I heard on the
especially
broadcast.
Especially for
him. Yeah. He was just in the zone, and he struck out 10 Red Sox over 7 scoreless innings, left the bases loaded in the first, and then just started cruising. I will remind everyone that Masterson authored this start in his first start of May. 7 1/3, 4 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts against the White Sox. He proceeded to have a 7.30 ERA over his next 5 starts. I am torn between leave Masterson alone because this is what he does, and maybe he gets really hot right now and you can start him for an extended period.
I think he is the Alfonso Soriano of starting pitchers because he is frustratingly inconsistent, but the overall body of work for the last 3-4 years has been pretty darn good.
Right. The only difference is with Masterson, it's like it could be a start-to-start thing where and the matchups don't seem to matter with him.
Right, yeah.
So you never know what to do with him.
Right, well, that's why, is this a hot streak? Is it the matchup? With him, I throw all that stuff out, which is why, incidentally, in the pitching column for Week 10, I made him a not a must-start, but a recommended borderline start.
Yeah, I yelled at you for that, Al.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He's got one more start, so if he blows up, then that's going to look like bad advice. But it's precisely this thing that it's just I've given up on trying to chase the splits and the streaks and all that with Masterson. Just say, you know what? I think if I just leave him in my rotation, particularly for 2 start weeks, I think over the long haul I'm going to come out ahead.
I prefer him in roto formats that count all year stats instead of head-to-head weekly formats because of that. Because you get the feeling like at the end of the year, you'll have decent numbers. Just you don't want to lose a week because of it.
Yeah. Now, there's enough inconsistency there that Masterson will lose out in a numbers game for me, in certain weeks. Mm-hmm. But, I'm not going to bench him because of a matchup.
Matt Garza had a good start against Minnesota. He's been pretty bad, though, most of the year. Bartolo Colon, 3 really good ones in a row at Washington, home against Pittsburgh, and at Philadelphia. And Colon has a 4.52 ERA, but only 3 bad starts this year. 2 of them were at extreme pitchers' parks, Colorado. Is it fair to call Yankee Stadium an extreme pitcher's park?
You mean hitter's park, but...
Yes, I'm sorry. Hitter's park.
So 2 extreme hitter's parks and 2 very good lineups. And the Yankees were not one of those.
Right, the Angels...
I'm sure you would vouch for me on that.
Well, it depends when you catch them. Sometimes they can be very good.
But in terms of what they've done over the season, the Yankees lineup has been okay. I don't think they've been terrible, but they've been okay. But the Angels and the Rockies have been 2 of the best offenses so far this year. So those are you throw in the Yankee Stadium start, and those are 3 potentially dangerous starts for Colon.
I thought yesterday was going to be bad. That's why I didn't pick him up. 2 start week. I thought at Philadelphia, bad ballpark. I thought it'd be bad. But he pitched well. 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, 5 Ks. 56% own. Too good, too low, too high, porridge just right.
Okay, I was going to say maybe a little high. But I think that is selling short the 8 good starts that he's made. He's been very good except for those 3 terrible ones. So, I think he's a reasonable upside play.
I'm sorry. How would you rank Masterson, Garza, Colon?
Masterson, Colon, Garza.
And where would you put Charlie Morton, who struck out 9 Padres?
Would put it between Masterson and Colon.
Really?
Yeah. I think Colon, when he's good, is better than Morton. But I trust Morton a little bit more.
Interesting.
Yeah. His control has not been very good, Morton. But he's of all the pitchers that could have control problems, he's one that I worry about it less with because he can get a lot of double play balls and not give up a lot of extra base hits.
Now let's do 3 up. Jonathan Lucroy went 3-for-4 with a home run. He's batting .325 with 3 home runs. And last year he batted Like .280, I think, with 18 home runs. So is he a power guy or an average guy?
Well, he's mostly an average guy, but he's an average guy who, at the catcher position.
Yeah, I mean, it can power relative to catchers.
I still don't really consider him a power guy because I call Evan Gattis a power guy.
And Rosario,
obviously.
And McCann.
Yeah. I don't put Lucroy in that category, but he's right up there with Molina and Maurer as guys who could help you a lot with batting average.
He's your number one catcher in fantasy right now, Jonathan Lucroy.
He is.
You buying it or selling it?
I'm buying the performance. Batting average, probably come down a little closer to .300. I do expect a little more power, so I think the overall value isn't going to change very much for Lucroy. I just do expect that Maurer or Posey could pass him up, yeah.
Christian Yelich went 0-for-3 with a walk and a run. He's batting .251, 5 homers, 18 RBI, 38 runs, which is 5th most in outfield at the outfield position. 8 steals, 28 walks, 50 strikeouts, 9 doubles, 5 triples. It's a decent line.
Mm-hmm.
He's the 16th best outfielder in points and 25th best in Roto. That's Christian Yelich.
Yeah, higher than I expected, and I think that's partly because, I mean, it shouldn't count for that much, but the 5 home runs are more than I thought he'd have at this point, and it's not like that's a lot, but this is a guy who hits a lot of ground balls. And, you know, and a lot of those fly balls in Marlins Park die in deep center. So there's other than the 5 home runs, and that's not a huge upset, there's really nothing in this line that surprises me.
Would you rather have...
The batting average could be higher.
Okay. Would you rather have Desmond Jennings or Christian Yelich?
I would rather have Des Jennings.
Josh Hamilton or Christian Yelich?
Yeah, Josh Hamilton.
Charlie Blackman or Christian Yelich?
Christian Yelich.
Hey. Michael Bourne, 52% owned. Last 21 days, he's a top 12 outfielder. Probably because I put him in 3 down.
I'm sure that's why.
He still only has 5 steals and 8 attempts in 38 games. And I thought about picking him back up in a Roto league in which I dropped him for AJ Pollock, I think. But I didn't pick him up because I don't think he's going to get you steals. Like, not enough to make a huge difference.
That's what it comes down to because, yeah, I've noticed in the box scores, it seems like he's really on a tear in recent days. But
341 over his last 20 games.
Yeah. But I don't really think that's going to last. And you're right, the steals, I just don't see that they're going to be there enough for you to pick him up.
Two-man rotation. Do you have anything to say about Jose Quintana, who gave up 5 runs, all unearned, in 6 innings at the Dodgers? Or John Lackey, who is giving up over a hit per inning?
That's kind of surprising, but I do know that he's got the high BABIP, so that's going to account for that. Lackey, no, I just like Lackey. And actually, this is a
wait, who has the high BABIP?
Lackey.
Okay.
I really do like Lackey. Like I said, I thought this might be a tough week for him. He came out of this Indian start with a better line, despite the low strikeout count, than I probably would have expected. Quintana, the consistency is incredible from him.
Yeah, the whip's a little high for him, 1.268. His hit rate's up from 8.5 last year to 9 this year per 9.
I think that's BABIP progression, too. I'll look up both of those guys if there's something you can expound on.
Yeah. I will ask you about some players in deep leagues that are either very recently or semi-recently hitting well. Bobby Abreu, 40 years old, and he's doing what he's done his whole career, basically. He's walking and he's doubling. He's got 7 doubles and 8 walks and 54 at-bats, 8 walks to 8 strikeouts, and he's batting .315. Wilmer Flores hit a grand slam last night for the Mets, hasn't been playing much, 7% owned. And Danny Santana is a Twins outfielder who is shortstop eligible, who played last night. He maybe could get you some steals. He's hitting for a good average. So Bobby Abreu, Wilmer Flores, Danny Santana. Are you interested in any of those, Mr. BABIP?
I'm Mr. BABIP now, and I was correct on both of those guys, both Quintana and Lackey. I noticed that with Bobby Abreu, you know, Brandy Wolf. Maybe there's something there for these guys that I thought were washed up and spent some time away from baseball.
And there's playing time available with Lagares and Eric Young on the DL.
Yeah, so
I don't know how long.
2% under owned.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's not relevant to most fantasy owners, but again, you know, those of us who play in single league formats, you know, these kinds of fines can be they can really help you. Flores, yeah, I think it's 7%. That sounds about right to me. I don't think he's even going to get regular playing time. Santana is interesting as a steals source, and another one too. I think is the replacement for Pollock in Arizona, Ender Inciarte, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, who has some nice steals numbers from the minor leagues and is likely to get playing time now.
Well, one of our emailers said, I can't believe, and I'm sorry I left his name out. Sorry, emailer. I can't believe Al didn't say something about the outfield opportunity in Arizona with a clear and present pun situation to be pounced on. It's Ender's game.
Well, you know, if you read my email yesterday morning,
did you put that in there?
I put that in there, along with Oscar's winning performance.
Yeah, that was good.
And neither one got used on the show.
So, Ender's
Game. Not that
I'm
bitter.
What is that?
What is it?
Yeah.
Book and a movie?
Oh, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Who wrote it?
I should know. because the guy's actually been very controversial. And plus, just it's kind of a big deal.
Really?
But I'm blanking out on the guy's name.
Well, I'm embarrassed.
So steals could be a big part of Ender's Game.
And I want everybody to know, I have a true distaste for reading books. It's a hobby that I hope to never take up. Emails and tweets. Chris wants to know, how bad do I want Tavares? I have Hayward. Do I want to offer up Jason Hayward to get Tavares in a 5x5 head-to-head league with OBP instead of batting average?
I'm sorry, I have to catch up on that because I was just looking up Orson Scott Card. That is the author of Ender's Game.
And that's our emailer wrote, Dear Orson Scott and Card. And I had no idea who that was.
There we go. All right, so how bad should we go after Tavares?
Instead of, would you rather have Hayward or Tavares?
I would rather have Hayward still. I've got him ranked higher. I've got Tavares just inside the top 40. And that's to me, that's a very optimistic ranking for him because that assumes that he stays in the Cardinals lineup.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But Hayward is a player who frustrates me.
Yep.
Another one,
me
sort
too.
Like Des Jennings, you know, when is the breakout going to happen? And I blogged yesterday about Hayward and Cespedes and Jose Reyes and how all three are popping up at ridiculously high rates. That's not going to help Hayward's stats overall. It's certainly not going to help his batting average.
Interesting. All right, Ron Jacobs. Rosario or Mesoraco rest of season? Points.
Oh, points. Yeah, because I was just going to go with the instant Rosario on that one.
This tweet inspired me to have a big, long emails tweet section because I had so much trouble answering it.
I'll still go Rosario.
Okay. Kayla says, I haven't bugged you guys about the Mariners lately. Please look up Saunders' stats since back from the injury and discuss. I haven't done that, Al. Can you do that?
I haven't either, so yeah, you're going to have to monologue again here.
The Cantrell says, Masterson sucks. All right, I think we pretty much addressed that one. He does suck a lot of the time. You know, the thing about Masterson, though, is I don't think he's throwing as hard as he was last year. Another thing Al could look up. That gives me less faith. Augie says, positions aside, please rank who would you rather have on your bench for the rest of the season. Kendrys Morales, Mike Moustakas, Oswaldo Arcia, and Marcus Stroman. I'll answer this, Al, and let you do
All
your
right.
thing. I'd rather have Morales, one. Oh, between Moustakas, four. And then I guess it would depend on what you need. I'll say Stroman, two. Arcia, three. So Morales, Stroman, Arcia, Moustakas. You agree?
I was having fun with Baseball Reference here. So
who would you rather have on the bench for the rest of the season?
Okay.
Morales, Moustakas, Arcia, Stroman.
Moustakas. Well.
Number one?
Actually, no.
Did you say Moustakas? You're distracted.
No. It's just because, yeah, I was really focusing on the hitters. But you said, who would I rather have on the bench? So I'd rather start Arcia or Morales.
No, okay. Who would you rather stash? Rest of season.
I gotcha. Well, in that case,
I thought you said Moustakas, and then my head started spinning.
Yeah, no, I got it twisted. It's going to be either Arcia or Morales. Yeah, it'll be Morales.
And you'd rather have Arcia than Stroman?
Yes.
Okay. I think Al thought you meant who would you bench?
That is what I thought.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. Michael Saunders. All right, so last 15 games, 365, 396, 73 slash line. Yes, that is impressive. Not really buying the average. And, I don't know. 11 strikeouts, that's an okay strikeout rate. Great. I don't know. I mean, it's the power is the thing that stands out here. And in a roughly two-week span, there's a lot of players that could do this. So,
how old is he?
I think around, I want to say 26, 27.
Come on, you got it right in front of you, yeah?
You're right, I do.
That's why I asked you.
That was awfully silly.
Angel from Milwaukee wants us to approve a move.
27.
See, I don't want to make the same mistake I made with Michael Brantley with Michael Saunders here and not recognize a potential breakout season.
Well, again, that's a good point because a year ago, I thought he was a potential breakout guy. So that's, I'm not dismissing this, but I think it's not enough to go all in.
Okay. Angel from Milwaukee, approve the move. 12-team head-to-head points league. I'm deep at outfield. I have Chu, Cargo, Stanton, Harper, Moss, and Eaton. I drop Eaton for Cody Allen, Cole Mentor, or Stroman.
Well, I'm definitely all for dropping Eaton at this point.
Yeah, do it for Allen.
And do it for Allen.
All right, we got to finish up here. So 10-team roto, 5x5 with OPS and strikeout per nine. This is from Joe from Santa Barbara. I have Pujols, LaRoche, Abreu, Singleton, and Belt. I'm last in saves. He has Rosenthal, Uehara, Soriano, and Reed. He's first in saves. He has Reynolds and Howard at first base. Is there a fair trade to be made?
I'm sure there is. Let's see. Maybe
LaRoche for
LaRoche Soriano.
Hey, there you go. Okay, thanks, everyone. Have a great day and a great week and a great life. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on the podcast and on the video show.